Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
Entitled the message this morning, Joseph, Not Your Ordinary Man or Ordinary Dad, okay? So Matthew chapter 1, 18 through the end of the chapter through 25. There are many examples of godly men in the Bible, okay? Name some. What are some examples of godly men in the Bible?
Isaiah,
okay?
Abraham.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, that's a safe one there. All right. Who else? Elijah, Moses. All right. Maybe David. A lot of good examples of godly men. In fact, David was a man after God's own heart, it says in one place. And yet, we know he was not the best father. Really, he, there was incest that took place and murder that took place within his family. And one of his sons tried to take the throne from him. Not a very pretty picture. So just being a godly person doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to be a good father or that you are a father. I was reading, been reading through the epistles, Paul's letters to the different churches, and I was in 1 Timothy this week, and that's where Paul Heath read from earlier. But Paul says, you know, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then he adds, of who I am the worst. No, he just doesn't say, you know, I am a sinner as well. He says, I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive the eternal life. You know, Paul was never a father in the literal sense. Why? It's not a trick question, really. He was never married, was he? He was never married. So he was never a father in the literal sense. But if you go on in 1 Timothy there, you'll see that the next verse after that he goes to Timothy, my son. And Timothy and Titus, Paul would take in as his spiritual sons. He would pour into their life, and they would pastor the churches that Paul would start. And he poured into their life, and he was their spiritual father. And he poured into their lives and encouraged them. In fact, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are letters to these men, encouraging them, giving them counsel how to pastor and to lead the congregations that were growing and maturing, and how to navigate through those growing pains and all those good things. And as I was looking at that, if I can speak to men of all ages here today, there's a huge need for men in our society to step up and be a father, whether it's to their children or to the fatherless, to those needing a spiritual father. There's a huge need. Our culture right now is paying the price for the lack of fathers in the home. Okay? The single-parent homes is astronomical. And dads, for a large part, a lot of them have just chosen to skip out. Sometimes moms skip out too. But there's a huge need in our society for men to fill that void. And to be a father, even to the fatherless and to those that don't have a father. Our society is seeing the effects of that. And, you know, what bothers me, I took a class through Peru State this spring, and we were supposed to write and blog on how different people were portrayed in the media, whether it was homosexuality or whether it was gender, race. And all of a sudden I caught the one for fathers. And so that's the one I wrote on, just how fathers are portrayed and men are portrayed in the media. How are men and fathers usually portrayed in the media? And by media, I mean movies and sitcoms. How are they portrayed? Are they portrayed as a spiritual leader of their home? Okay. Like Little House on the Prairie? No. Okay. How are they portrayed? Is some of you going, what's Little House on the Prairie? Right, Aaliyah? You know what it is? Okay. All right. All right. Your mom has debriefed you, huh? Okay. There's books. Aren't men usually seen as kind of the buffoon or sometimes the playboy, right? The playboy, they got a woman, you know, in and out. And yeah. And that's how our media has portrayed men. And what we're needing is to see that there are men that love their families, to teach them morality, life skills, how to love God. It's amazing just the kids, whether it's boy or girls, that just don't have a dad to help them. And when I watched a movie this week or last week, and you know, the one girl says, "You know what? I never learned how to ride a bike because you weren't there." You know, and so as an adult or an older teen, he teaches her how to ride a bike. So there's one father that is mentioned in Scripture that I want us to look at this morning, and it's Joseph. And I've never referred to him as on a Father's Day message, and I don't know why, because he is the one father that I think that God himself entrusted Joseph with his son Jesus. That's a pretty big task, isn't it? And Mary as well. And so we don't know a lot about Joseph in reality, as we do some people, as David or Paul or Abraham. But we do learn a little bit about him and who he was in Matthew chapter 1. So that's where I want us to look this morning. Happy birthday, Deb. Good to have you here with us today. All right. So let's look at that. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but they came together. Before they came together, she was found to be with child." In other words, she's pregnant out of wedlock. All right? And she's found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. "Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." He could have had her tried and she could have been stoned for unfaithfulness. Okay? That is what the law required. "But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' And when Joseph had woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you take it, apply it to our hearts and to our lives this morning. In your name we ask. Amen. Joseph, just a little bit going back with some of the other Gospels, Joseph and Mary were pledged to be married, so it's like an engagement, except it cared a lot more to get out of this engagement. Back in those days, you actually had to get divorced, so it wasn't saying, "Hey, it's not going to work, we go our separate ways." They actually, this engagement process was taken much more seriously. And while they were in that stage, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who would be the mother of John the Baptist, gets pregnant in much the same way. They were past the age of childbearing. All of a sudden, God appears to them. She gives birth to a son, and it's John the Baptist. And so Mary goes and visits her. Before she makes the visit, though, the angel appears to her and says, "You're going to be with a child." And, you know, who do you tell in a situation like that? That you're pregnant. At least Elizabeth was married. Mary was not married. And so she finds herself to be with child. She needs somebody to talk with. that would maybe understand this experience. She goes to Elizabeth and spends several months with Elizabeth. And as she is there, of course, she left and she looked normal. She comes back and you know, there's the, what do you call that? The baby bump, yes, that is there. And all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, you know, Joseph's kind of like going, whoa, okay, what's just happened here, huh? And so he begins to process through that. He's just going to dismiss her privately. And go his own way, and so that she wouldn't suffer harm or too much disgrace. And that's when God appears to him. And so there's some principles about fatherhood that I want us to look at this morning that we learned from Joseph, from Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. So what do we learn from Joseph? First of all, that a father is being a godly man. It's being a godly man. And you don't see that in the media and our culture as much as it should be. You go back to some of the older movies, you would see that portrayed, like Little House on the Prairie. There was the morals there, and the dad was the leader of the home. He displayed some leadership. He displayed spirituality, made sure that the family got to church. There were some good things portrayed, but that is not seen in our culture today, and that impacts us more than we realize, folks. It impacts our culture. But you know what? Before Joseph ever became a father, it says in verse 10, because Joseph, her husband, was a what? Well, he was a righteous man, right? He was a carpenter too. You're getting ahead of me, Kat. All right? But he was a righteous man, right? And so before he is even a father, he's a righteous man. And you know, and I believe that God had his choice of people he could have entrusted his son to be born into, his son Jesus. But he found a couple that was engaged to be married, Mary and Joseph. And I don't think they were on the top 10 list of high profile people within the nation of Israel. I think they were just normal, ordinary people, but they had one quality specifically, that they loved God. They were righteous and holy people in their heart, and God knew that. And he knew that he could entrust them with the gift of his son to raise him up in the ways of the Lord. The ironic thing of this was Joseph, the father of Jesus. He wasn't, was he? He had no union with her. And if you want the translation of that, they didn't have sex before marriage, okay? And before he was born. In fact, it says that they didn't come together until after Jesus was born. There was no question that the Son of God was from above, from God, from the Holy Spirit, as Scripture says. So, the rest of the world would see this, that Joseph was the father of the Son. But really, he wasn't, was he? But you know what? Joseph would take Jesus in as his own child, as the Son of God. He would love him. He would teach him. He'd become a father. You know, and in our society today, there's such a huge need for being a father, but even being a foster parent or a mentor. Have you seen all those signs for being a foster parent? It's a huge... And Kat has taken him up on that, hasn't she? And filled that void need. There's a huge need, folks. It's a huge need in our culture. A huge need. And many in our congregation have been foster parents at one point or another. But Joseph stepped into that role that was handed to him, and he raised Jesus, took Jesus in as his own son, and was a father to him. And that is a challenge for us today. So being a father, I believe, first of all, is being a godly man. And that's not always portrayed in our culture, and hopefully there's enough examples in the church of what it means to be a godly man. It doesn't mean you always have to come to church dressed in a suit and tie and talk religious language. Okay? I don't think Jesus did. All right? I don't think David did. But it means that you have a heart after God, you have a prayer life, you seek after God, and then in your heart there's a right relationship with God. Secondly, I think being a father, and we learn this from Joseph, is being willing to walk by faith. If there's anything that's going to cause you to walk by faith, it's being a dad. All right? You know, you get instruction manuals. There's books out there. But each kid is different, right? Moms know this too. Each kid is different. And you can go to the books. You can go to Scripture. But you have to go to your knees in prayer and say, God, I need wisdom for each child to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And you have to be willing to walk by faith. Just think about Joseph. So he finds out about this, that his to-be wife is pregnant, not with his child, but from the Holy Spirit. And so he trusts God. After this dream and vision, he trusts God. He has the faith to believe God and this angel that appears to him in a dream. He trusts God, and they start this journey. They make their way to Bethlehem. The child is born outside home, okay, where home would be for them. Born on the road in what would be a kind of a Super 8 or a Motel 6 situation, even maybe less than that. It was a cave, okay, stock barn. That's where Jesus was born. They lived there for a couple years, and then all of a sudden Herod is on their tail and finds out that this child has come because of the wise men, and he begins to search for the child, and they slaughter thousands of boys that were 2 years old and younger. And before that happens, Joseph again is warned in a dream, and they go to where? They go to Egypt. And they live there for a time and a season, and then they would move back to Israel when it was safe, and they move back to Nazareth. Just think of the faith. You know, when they went to Egypt, they left in the middle of the night. I don't know how they were set financially. I don't know if Joseph knew where they were going to go. There's a huge reliance of faith and trusting God. And Joseph maybe is an extreme example, but I think as a father, you're always put in that boat. And sometimes you think, am I ready to be a father? No, you never will be. You never will be. Part of it is a journey of faith where you trust God and you walk by faith and you grow in the process. And you mature, you grow, and you learn what it means to be a father. Mary and Joseph had their challenges, but God was faithful to lead them. And as Joseph trusted God, and he, by faith, led his family through all the challenges that came their way. Now, we don't know when Joseph, he isn't around when Jesus begins his public ministry, when Jesus is 30 years old, and that Joseph doesn't seem to be part of the picture. So it is assumed that he had passed away by that point. But we know that they had other children that Joseph was a father to, and that God provided for them and helped them on their journey. So what I do know is that God, fatherhood will have its challenge, and it's not for the faint of heart, okay? If you want something easy and predictable, don't become a father, don't become a dad, don't become a mom. Because it's not easy. It's rewarding, but it's not easy. But what I know is that God is faithful, and he won't give us more than we can handle. And you know, sometimes you're, sometimes you get a call from the police, and your child has broken the law. Those are always fun, aren't they? Your child can head down a different path than the way that you've raised them. That's challenging. Maybe your child has special needs, or they make life choices that you don't agree with. Those are always challenging. And there isn't always a textbook for all that, but that's where you go to God in prayer. And I believe that God is faithful to give us the wisdom, the strength, and the direction that we need. So being a dad is being a godly man, is walking by faith, but it's also being a provider for your family. And Joseph did that. You know, I don't see Joseph as being a wealthy man, okay? We never get any indication that that is the case. I think he was pretty ordinary, probably an average income for those in that day and age. But he provided for his family. And often I think when we think of being a provider of your family, we think of what? What are we talking about? Money. But dads have to provide in other ways too, don't they? What are some other ways? Support the mom? What else? Oh, okay. To love, the emotional, right? Just being there. Whether it's at the kids' games or it's providing for them in a lot of different ways. It's more than just financial. And I think some fathers see it as just financial. And so what do? They work long hours and to bring in money, and they think that'll solve all the things of being a dad. And you have to find that balance of the financial end of it and also being there for your children. They need that influence just as much as they need a roof over their head and clothes and shoes on their feet. Okay? It's finding that balance. They need to know a father's embrace and that they're loved, and to communicate that, to be at supper, at their games, to have devotions with them. And in the difficult times of life, to know that they are there. To take their family to church. You know, there's a lot of women that want to come, or sometimes they're on the edge of coming, but if the husband isn't in on it, it makes it much more harder for the wife to come. But I can guarantee it, if the husband's on board helping to get the kids ready and get out the door, it goes much better. And so that's where men can provide some leadership and be a dad. So providing at all levels. Number four. Okay, I'm moving along here, but that's okay. All right. Number four is being a dad, and we learn from Joseph, is being a teacher. Being a teacher. Now, Kat, Jesus' trade was what? What was it? He was a carpenter, okay? All right. And some say maybe he was a mason, but it was some kind of builder, carpenter. Where do you think he learned that trade from? Who? His dad. Yeah. He learned it from his dad. He didn't go to SCC, okay? He learned it from his dad. That's in that culture, you learned many times the trade of your father. And so Jesus learned to be a carpenter or a stonemason, whatever, a builder was his trade. And he was known as the son of a carpenter. Fathers are teachers. Whether it is teaching a child how to ride a bike, to tie their shoes, to shoot a gun, to mow the grass, pound a nail, throw a ball, how to pray, read their Bible, a father needs to fill that role as of being a teacher. And some of my best memories are of that I have in life is my dad taking me hunting and fishing. I still have pictures back where I think my first duck I got was this little puny teal, blue-winged teal. Okay, I got a picture of it in the bedroom there. It's just this little tiny thing, you know, went from end to end, you know. He's just this little blue-winged teal. They're good to eat, but they're small. And then my dad has this big Canadian goose, you know. So there's a picture of him and his goose and me and my teal, you know. But we had some really good memories, and we still do. So we're hoping to maybe go catch a few fish this week and add to those memories. Some of the best memories with my kids is taking them deer hunting, and all of them have been able to take nice deer. Not just I was there for all their first deer, but they've also taken some very nice deer, bigger ones than I've ever shot with the rifle. And now I have showed them up in the archery end of it, so I still hold the records that way. But they've, you know, I never had the chance to shoot that nice of deer when I was a kid. And fishing, and we've done a lot of good things, baseball, basketball, a lot of different things. And those are memories. And I've coached a lot of park and rec activities, flag football, baseball. That just surprised me, the kids that would come out, and you know, they didn't know even know how to throw a football or how to throw a baseball. And it's kind of like, and some of these, you know, they had dads, and it's kind of like, where was dad? Some of them were athletic dads. It's kind of like, you know, be there for your kids. Be a teacher. Show them how to throw a ball. Be there and enjoy those moments together. Those are moments that you never get back. You know, you make them happen, and there's usually not time to go back and make them happen. It's hard to go backwards. So when they're there at their different ages, be there for them and be a teacher. And I think there's some good rewards along the way. So, this winter, I think most of you know Mark had, he had knee surgery in the fall because of football, and so he started off basketball and had a good start. Kind of got into middle there. His shooting probably wasn't falling. They weren't going in the hoop as much as he wanted to, and he injured his knee again in mid-season. But just went and said, "Well, let's go shoot some hoops together." So got up early. We went to the gym, and I just shagged balls for him. He'd shoot, and I'd give it back to him. And worked on his arch a little bit and his form, his last few games, he were some of his best games that he had this year. And, so you see investments that sometimes are fairly immediate and rewarding for dad, and eventually it comes back to you, I think. And so being a dad is, from Joseph, we learn that he was a godly man. He was willing to walk by faith. He was a provider for his family. He was a teacher to them. And I just don't get the impression that Joseph was a splashy, high-profile guy. Okay? I don't get that impression. But he was a dad. He was a father. And I believe he was a good father to his son, Jesus, and the rest of the children that he had. I think he was a normal guy who, above all, loved God. He loved his family. And because of that, God entrusted him with his son, Jesus. So being a father is not rocket scientist and being, rocket science. Pretty basic. Not always easy to do. But it's being a righteous, godly man. It's walking by faith, providing, and being a teacher. I'm going to have the musicians come. And you just want to close out this time. I'm going to have Josh and Karen, if they'd join me, at the front here. And we're going to close with that song, Never Once. And if you have a need or request this morning, if you'd come. If you just want to even just pray about your dad and maybe a future dad. Or you want us to just agree with you. And maybe you just want where you're at, just you and God. Just you can't go back and change the past, but you can change the future, starting from right now. And so maybe you and God just need to talk a little bit this morning. And I encourage you to do that. And maybe as a dad, you're just going through a difficult time right now. And you just lack the wisdom. Or times you wish you could just say, child, do this. The older that they get, the more that they're on their own. And you can't. The more you have to step back and say, God, you have to work on their life. Can seem pretty powerless at times. But we serve a mighty God, amen? And so, just in this response time, if you would just reach out to the Lord this morning, we'll agree with you in prayer this morning. And we'll give Him the praise and glory.